Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. After a stellar Hawks game, we welcome Kevin Powell to give us an update of our Ramblers down in San Antonio. And it's Friday, so that means it's our political roundtable of Ken Jagabowski and Dave Lundy. And be sure to get your calls in for another episode of What's That From, where we take on one of your favorite movie scenes for listener prizes. But now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, it's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh man, I've already reserved my table at a restaurant in the area to watch the Loyola Ramblers. They are in the Final Four going up against Michigan and calling from San Antonio. We've got Kevin Powell on the line. And Kevin, I did watch some of the press conferences with Sister Jean, and she seriously has become the biggest star of the Final Four, hasn't she?
She really has. They had her in a press conference room, and basically everyone and anyone that's covering or around this Final Four was jam-packed into that room. So she is absolutely has become the rock star of this tournament. And honestly, I think rightfully so. You know, and the players don't mind it. We talked to some of the Loyola players, and they were like, this is awesome. They love the fact that she's getting all this attention.
Plus, it adds an element of mythology to them. You know, I mean, this is part of the big story. Yeah. And who knows? There's odds about whether or not they'll win. Have you been following what the chances are that Loyola will win tomorrow? Or does that even matter, really, at this point? Because they had no chance of getting this far before. It was like 1%.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, they're the underdogs again, if you ask Vegas, but they've been the underdogs in every game this tournament. So, you know, how much stock do you take into that? I don't know. I don't know if you take really a whole lot into that. In terms of breaking down and kind of giving a scouting report on this, these are two very similar teams in Loyola and Michigan. Michigan may have a little bit of an advantage on the size department. Their best player is 6'11". He's a little something different. He's Mo Wagner. He's a guy who can shoot the ball. He can shoot a three-pointer. He can put the ball on the deck, and he can dribble to the rim. So that's something they haven't seen before. I mean, this is a really, really good player. But overall, though, they're very similar teams. They both play defense very well. They both are efficient on the offensive end. They both shoot the ball well. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Loyola beat them.
I like the way that sounds. I want to not be shocked by Loyola's win tomorrow. That's exciting. And the other thing is, and we talked about this before, which is the pace at which the Ramblers play, which is an old style sort of take your time with the ball, you know, making sure that you're making passes land, and you know, you kind of wait the quick offense and defense of the other team out. It throws people off.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of describing it. They are kind of that old school mentality where it's just do what you do your basic basketball points correctly. As crazy as that sounds, like, you know, they may not have guys that are going to the NBA, but they do everything efficiently and they do it well. You know, they pass the ball well, they hit the open shots, they create open shots. The Michigan's head coach John Beilein was praising them today. He said he called their offense a thing of beauty, and that's coming from an opponent's head coach. They just do everything well. It's hard to get frustrated when you watch them play because they do what you want to see. They do. They make the right passes. They make the right drive. They make the right shot. Everything. So not a whole lot of weaknesses with Loyola, and that's why I really won't count them out this weekend.
So I've heard you say this twice, or maybe Carm said this earlier in the week too, that they might not play in the NBA. What defines that? Why do you say that they might not? None of them will make it to the NBA. And do they know that?
Probably because of I think they know that. I mean, that, you know, it's stuff like this. There's so many press conferences and interviews, and people ask all sorts of questions. And you know, Porter Moser was asked when five of his players were sitting next to him during a press conference about kind of the one and done in college basketball. One and done means if you go for 1 year, you're basically just fulfilling the eligibility rules where you have to go to college for 1 year and then you get drafted. And he kind of joked, he's like, sorry guys, I love you, but we don't really have that problem here. We don't have any one and dones. I guess the reason we say that is because they're not they're 6'5", they're 6'6", they're 6'7". You know, Loyola plays a very small size. Their center's 6'9". I mean, there aren't 6'9 centers in the NBA. I mean, LeBron James is 6'9". It's not a knock against them. It's just
right.
That, like, projecting against the 0.1% of basketball players that actually play on the highest level is probably they don't project well in that department. I'm not saying some of them couldn't make a run or, you know.
Right. Well, Kevin, accountant makes it to the NHL to be a goalie for the Blackhawks, I mean, at 36 years old, I don't discount anybody.
How cool is that?
It was unbelievable. It's Rudy on ice, man.
It's like Rudy on steroids. Like, that's such a crazy story. It's the guy's like a beer league hockey player, and normally he sits up in the press area and just has something to eat, and then he leaves. And man, it was it's good for that guy. I mean, one of my favorite photos was the guys he plays with at Johnny's Ice House. There was a great picture of all them just glued, still in their hockey pads and everything. They were glued to the TV at Johnny's Ice House watching him play. And he made 7 saves.
Yes.
He did a great job.
It was so much fun to watch his saves in slow motion. Yeah, it was. It makes you believe anything is possible. Elliot, why are you scrunching your face, Elliot?
Oh, no, I was wondering if you...
Oh, Elliot's there. What's up, Elliot?
Hey.
Everybody's here. Scott and Mike and Dave and Ken.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just Patty and I today. That's why I was so, like... Not nervous. Last night I was nervous. And now I'm super nervous. You got all these rock stars in the studio with you.
You know, there's like 500,000 people listening on top of that. You're so funny.
I know, but I can put a face to the people. So like when Eric Zorn's sitting, I could see a face, you know, in front of me. I can't see the 500,000 people that are staring at me. So it's different.
That's fair. Next time we'll Facebook Live while we're talking. Elliot, what were you going to say?
Perfect.
So rumor is that Meryl Streep will be playing Sister Jean in the eventual movie.
That's a good call, right there.
Can you ask her for comment on that? Ask her how she feels about Meryl Streep playing her.
Yes,
I like that.
Ask her who she wants to have.
Richard and Roe were trying to break down earlier of who would play Sister Jean. But if you go, I mean, Meryl, she can play anybody. So I
guess Helen Mirren,
like, kind of default.
I pick Helen Mirren or Judi Dench.
Yeah.
Yes. I pick some of, you know, Maggie Smith. I see a Maggie Smith in that wheelchair. It's awesome.
And she'd be Jolie. Great with a British accent.
Yeah, well, they can do English accents very well. Thank you very much.
Well, no, this is what
they're actresses.
Well, Helen Mirren, you think she could do a British accent?
I said an English accent. I mean, American. Yes.
Oh, an American.
Let's go beyond Sister Jean. I mean, not that they necessarily look like, but wouldn't Tom Hanks be a great. Catholic school head coach and Porter Moser, Tom Hanks for Porter Moser.
I'm feeling this. I'm feeling the new Hoosier movie. Okay, stop talking about it.
I love it.
Because if we want to write it, now it's too late because someone's like, oh, we got to write this movie. Kevin, did you get a chance to go down to the Riverwalk and get a margarita like I told you to?
I did. The Riverwalk's awesome, by the way.
Yes. I'm glad you got there.
Yeah, the San Antonio is a perfect venue for the Final Four because I walked from the Alamo Dome, which is where all the games are, to the Riverwalk in about 15 minutes. You can walk everywhere.
Yeah.
And everything's kind of near each other. And the Riverwalk's fun. It's weird because you kind of do like a bar hop type situation where you just kind of like, you know, walking in the Riverwalk, like, oh, here's an open table. And then you just sit down and then order a drink. And the next thing you know, you're having dinner somewhere.
Yes.
So honestly, I wish I could tell the listeners where I went, but I don't even know. It's just, I'm like, this looks like a good place.
Okay.
And I got some shrimp enchiladas and, some queso dip. And I was like, this is awesome.
Okay.
I'm sitting right on the river. I also don't know how, one other thing, like just walking near the river.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just going to fall in
yes.
the whole time.
You'd wonder how many people.
Not even alcohol-induced. Just like walking out, it feels like a magnet pulling me to the river. And I don't know how like every 5 minutes somebody, because there's no guardrails. Like this is just like a little river. And you're just like on
it's
a boardwalk, sidewalk, and then there's a river next to you. There's no guardrail anywhere.
Well, there's Texas. There's no zoning.
No, yeah, no, exactly.
There is a rail, but it's at your ankles.
Yeah.
So it's got to, if you can, you know.
Well, like, designed to encourage you to trip.
It's so long. It's just like if there's a rail and the rail disappears. So I'm like, that's even more dangerous. Either have no rail, you know, like you could be like looking at your phone for 30 seconds. Next thing you know, you're in the river. But no, I love it there. It's super cool. It's a really cool spot.
Well, that walk, it's very crowded. Well, now, are you saying near the river walk or are you saying near the Alamo Dome?
I'm actually not near either. I'm near the airport, which is about 15 minutes away. It was tough to get a hotel when all this went down. So.
Yeah, no, I've stayed out there.
I really don't mind. It's an easy Uber drive, like 15 minutes north of everything.
So,
and, you know,
this is what I need. I need you to do this tomorrow before the game, and I think you'll have enough time, right? The game is at what, 5:10, 5:09? Is it the tip-off?
Yeah, 5:09.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's a restaurant at the Mercado called Mi Tierra, which has the best bakery.
Oh my God, my Uber driver told me about that yesterday. He told me to go there. He's like, go there. You will not be disappointed. That's hilarious you said that. Okay, I'm going to go have lunch there tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been going to San Antonio for many years to perform, and Mi Tierra is one of the best Mexican restaurants in the country. So, but it's all traditional Mexican food. But the thing is, it's like room after room. Every room is like differently decorated. You'll have one with like the traditional paper cutouts. You'll have one that has, there's always a musicians and just and everyone's wearing traditional Mexican, whether it's the different states of Mexico. They actually define it by what state the owner's from. Anyway, you've got to go to Mi Tierra. That's my favorite place.
Isn't it nice when you know your Uber driver wasn't lying to you? Like, basically what you just told me is everything you just told me is what he told me yesterday in the 15-minute Uber drive. He's like, I'm telling you, he's like, it's all authentic. I know the people. They're all from Mexico. They know how to cook Mexican food.
Yes.
Like everything you just... So now I got to go. I'm going there. I'm going there for lunch, for sure.
You've got to get... And some of the pastries.
That just sealed the deal.
Yes, please, please go. And I need a selfie of you there, or at least a picture of whatever you're eating. I'll take that. All right, Kevin.
We'll Sister Jean, then we'll get up. We're going to be on a little selfie together.
That's a wonderful. I love all that. All right, have fun. I hope we can talk to you on Monday night if you're up for it. I know you're going to be exhausted, but I want to recap.
No.
All right.
I love to. Thanks, Patty, for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night,
Kev. Have
fun, guys. Enjoy Mi Tierra. More after this. We have our political roundtable in the studio. So if you want to get upset that we're talking about the White House, you know what it means. If you start complaining, we rack them up. More after this on 720 WGN. All right. We have a lot of topics to cover tonight, but we should live with the Loyola Ramblers for another moment. I am watching the game tomorrow, and I do want to ask you guys, as sports fans, I want to go around the horn. I think we're all Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press. I don't know if you are a big sports fan. Are you? Come on closer.
I'm from Michigan. Come on.
So do you guys all have superstitions? Because I've been told that I cannot watch tomorrow's game since I have not watched a single Loyola Ramblers game. I would then throw off their juju. I didn't realize how important I was in the universe, that somehow my presence would throw things off.
Well, as a juju myself,
do you like mojo better? What's a
I have not watched the game, so I better not watch this one. But I think I'm going to watch because this is pretty exciting stuff.
I have a table at a restaurant nearby if you want to come downtown at all. Okay. I've reserved one. Scott's joining me, possibly Mike. I'm not sure. No. Scott, do you think that we would throw things off by watching this game?
No.
Are you a superstitious person?
No. I picked Loyola to be in the Final Four, so no.
Did you really? Because they
archive his work. That's why. They all have a record of everything he's ever done. And he's very
I didn't say. I thought this through and crunched the numbers. I just...
Now, Elliot showed some hesitation when I invited him to watch the game with me, and he seemed to think, as my husband was telling me, that we cannot watch the game.
We'd be doubling down on the drinks, because I have not watched a single Loyola Ramblers game. If anything, I've listened to it on the radio.
Yes.
But I haven't watched it, which we all know that... I mean, we know what a jinx I am. I almost lost the Cubs of World Series.
Well, that was you.
And I also lost the Blackhawks, the Stanley Cup Final, when they were playing against the LA Kings a few years back. It's my fault that
you look a lot different than...
Yeah.
I mean, you look thinner. Or actually heavier. No, you look heavier and shorter.
It's the guilt.
And you don't throw left-handed. I'm trying to figure out the Cubs almost losing the World Series. Do you you still throw over 100 miles an hour? That was pretty amazing.
Let's just say my jinx throws over 100 miles an hour.
Well, he does look a little like Hector Rondon.
No.
All right. So I think that...
I don't think you're watching the game is going to make... any bit of difference, because there will be a few million people who have not seen them play all year who are going to tune in tomorrow to watch them lose to Michigan.
I like the dispensation. I appreciate that.
But if they lose by .0000001,
then it's your fault. My fault.
just remember this. From a basketball perspective, the Alamo Dome historically is not kind to teams who rely on a three-point shot, and Michigan relies on a three-point shot.
Seriously, this is actual analysis
every, as opposed to what the rest of us are doing.
Yeah, every game that has, the NCAA Final Four game that has been played in the Alamo Dome, teams have shot very, very poorly, well below their season averages from three-point range, and it's because of the background. It's a cavernous stadium. And it's very challenging for teams to make an adjustment.
Yeah, but the Loyola Ramblers are that their strength is their shooters. That they basically have four guards on the floor.
They can shoot it from three as well as Michigan can, but Loyola has shown a propensity to get an awful lot of points at the rim in this tournament.
Absolutely.
So I think they've got. Look, if I were advising you whether to take the 5.5 points or not, I would say take the points. If we're advising you to bet who would win the game straight up, I would say take Michigan because they're bigger and they just have better talent top to bottom.
I have to say this. My question about superstition has to turn to something else. Let's say you are a high-profile talking head, let's say, on a high-profile network, and you say disparaging things about a teenager and are just relentlessly, I want to say, just a jerk about people who maybe experience trauma in their lives. Is it a jinx to say something nasty and then just think nothing's going to happen to you, and then when people pull out their money that supports what you do, then you go, oh, no, I never, and second thought, Laura Ingraham has a lot of nerve is what I'm saying.
Oh, that's who you're talking about.
She has a lot of nerve.
Oh, wow, I didn't see that.
Is that jinxing when your sponsors pull out? She was never going to apologize. If those sponsors hadn't pulled out of like Wayfair and whatever dozen other, by the way, it's 12. So people are saying, because on Good Friday she was saying, in the spirit of Easter, I'm going to apologize now. Go bite me.
Well,
that's not the spirit of Easter, is it,
well,
Scott?
Well, David Hogue, instead of, I thought he was really smart, instead of attacking Laura Ingraham when she attacked him, he put out a tweet to all of his, 600,000 followers?
No, he's over 1.2 million.
He put out a tweet which said, hey, look at this. Here are her advertisers.
Yep. Have at
contact
it.
Three or four of them and tell, and it worked.
Yep,
it worked.
Mm-hmm.
That was great to see a kid one up Laura Ingraham. That
Brad, what do you
great.
Think about the Laura Ingraham controversy?
Who, me?
Yes, Brad. Hi.
Well, who are you going to believe, David Hogg or Alex Jones? He's just a crisis actor.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't there.
Oh, you mean, David Jones is totally a crisis actor.
No,
he totally overblows everything, pretend like he knows things. He's completely a crisis actor. David Jones is like selling
Alex
supplements.
Jones.
Oh, Alex Jones? I don't know.
David Hogue.
Who's David Jones?
Alex Jones is the right-wing,
He's a daydream believer.
Alex Jones is the right-wing nut that says David Hogue is just an actor.
Alex Jones is totally a crisis actor. Like, he thinks there's a crisis going on, and he thinks that it's kids who are demanding that there be sensible gun laws. I agree with you. Brad, you're absolutely right. Alex Jones is a crisis actor. What were you going to say, Scott?
No, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted coming from that some people from the right have been attacking these kids who were shot at and saw their friends killed. No, you know what? You shut up. You if you disagree with them, you shut up.
Exactly. Don't you think, Brad? You just shut up. Exactly. Brad, are you there?
Shut up.
No, I guess Brad.
I think Brad heard you say big bowl of shut up.
Oh, no, not you, Brad. Not you.
Yeah, no, not you, Brad.
Well, in all seriousness, though, how can you attack kids that have been shot at? I don't understand it. Why would you attack them?
Well, and you think about it.
Because they're hateful people with just darkness in their hearts. Yes,
well, but it's worse than that. I think it's worse than hateful people with darkness in their hearts. I mean, these kids are lucky to be alive. Their friends were killed, and they happen to have decided, in their exercising their constitutional right, that guns were the problem, and they're doing what they can to promote no guns. So, okay, does that give you a right to attack them in a vile way? I mean, why? I don't understand what's going on.
Dave's got the last word before the news.
And let's just look at it from this perspective. There's also a conservative who was one of the survivors of the massacre who has gone on television and said, no, we don't need new gun laws, and this is the wrong approach, and that all the rest of my classmates are all wrong. I haven't heard a single liberal attack that person and question his ability to get into college or anything else. No. We don't do that, generally speaking, on the left. But the people on the right must dehumanize the people whose opinions they don't like.
That's what happens when you feel threatened. We're having a very heated discussion about how to handle the rest of the show. We have a limited time right now. Of course, I want to thank the 847 for being so excited about the fact that we are on right now, especially considering the, so much is going on in the news. We have been hanging out with Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Maybe this is a time to talk about something that came up in Time Magazine, Elliot Serrano. I don't know. Ken Jacobowski's never seen any of the Star Wars movies. Not a single one.
But I saw the original Lost in Space.
So Dave Lundy and I are still kind of fascinated by this fact that he's never seen the movie, and we've debated how he should watch it. Roger Badish has his own theory. Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press, I don't know if you have you seen Star Wars?
No.
You've never seen Star Wars?
No. He saw the original. Yeah, sure.
Come okay. Yeah. Try that. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Scott, you have seen Star Wars.
Of course.
So, okay, Elliot, if you were to sit down with Ken and give him advice on how to watch the Star Wars and movies. Now there are 9 of them?
Nine.
No, Rogue One counts as part of the...
Then there's going to be the Solo movie coming out soon, too.
So that'll be 10.
Yeah. Wait, is Rogue One the Spielberg movie, right?
Oh, no. God.
No, which one?
It's okay.
There's one tonight.
Ken, don't try to, like, you just sit there and be pretty.
No, but did Spielberg movie open tonight, correct?
You're talking about Ready Player
One. That's Ready Player One.
That's not Star Wars.
No, that's not
Star Wars. Okay.
No, that's about a kind of a, I guess, you know, this dim future where we're all doing everything through virtual reality and we have our, you know, headgear on.
You know, Patty, whenever this topic comes up, I feel a little guilty because I feel like I'm like Star Wars shaming Ken.
No.
Well,
here's
why cultural ignorance.
No,
I try to stop myself, but I just can't help it. I'm like, Ken, my friend.
Well, look, like here, I said, I saw that Lost in Space is coming to the big
Lost
screen.
Lost in Space has nothing to do with Star Wars.
I saw it on the original show. Ken, it's not coming to the big screen. It's coming to Netflix. But maybe you have a very big television, and we shall go watch that.
I saw an ad at the movie theater for Lost in Space.
Am I wrong?
It's Netflix.
Netflix. Okay. Roger, you have a theory on how people should watch the Star Wars films.
They have never seen a Star Wars and really don't have any recollection.
Let's go, Roger. Yes.
Of all the
this
conversations.
Is a long way to get to your answer. Go ahead.
Yes. You should start at episode number 1.
Okay. No.
So hold on, everybody. I'm going to turn all your mics off. So do you know who disagrees with you, Roger?
Everybody.
Mark Hamill.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, now I bow down to His Eminence.
I'm just saying. And here's why.
Okay.
Part of it has to do with the technology that was not available when they were filming the first 3 movies.
True.
And the reveal of Luke's father, right? So if you start with 1, you ruin the reveal of the of Empire.
Yeah, but then you don't need 1 through 3.
Does it?
Actually, you don't, but yes.
See?
Hey, Roger.
Yes.
You don't need 1 through 3, but
I know,
Mark Hamill's not going to say that.
Because they wanted to make
skater?
Money. One has a horrible
story. Oh, no, that's Dorothy Hamill. Dorothy Hamill. Oh, my God.
It's funny. He actually has a story about that. Mark Hamill has a story about Dorothy Hamill.
I've heard the story.
Are they related?
Story?
No.
No, they're not. But he goes, I guess he got pulled over one day by a cop. And he pulled out his driver's license. He goes, "I'm Mark Hamill." And he goes, "Wait." The cop goes, "Are you related to the skater?" So this is before Star Wars, obviously. So he's had.
Well, even after Star Wars,
everywhere.
I'm asking the question. I first thought he was the skater. She was quoting tonight. I realize he's an actor.
He should just say that they are. But to my point, no, I agree. I can see where Roger's coming from because Lucas wants you to see the movies 1 through 6. That's how he wants you to see them, but. Mark Hamill says, watch them in order of their release, because as you already said, the technology for the movies that were 70s and 80s, you watch them and you're like, okay, they have their charm to them. Then you watch the prequels 1, 2, and 3. They look completely different.
Yes.
They don't have charm.
But no. Yeah, they're lacking a lot of the
whimsy.
It's like
whimsy
watching
character. Yeah.
Like when you watch Godfather, right? So there is in Godfather 2 more so. There's sort of the origin story in Godfather 2, where we're going all the way back to Sicily and following his story. So they're kind of think of it that way when you're watching 1, 2, and 3, the way they were released. Now you're going back and watching the origin story.
So
Vader.
Should I? How many have there been?
14, Ken.
Nine.
No, there have been nine. So
yeah, but by the time you actually see any of them, there will have been 14.
But no, you started four. No, no, my daughter's 8. She's getting close to the age where
it's 10. It's 10 plus, including Rogue One. It's 10 right now.
Actually, but you start with 4 and watch it in that way.
I forgot. Hold on.
You can find the release dates. Yes.
No, you're right. No, I forgot. You have to count both Ewok movies too.
No.
And then there's a Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yes.
Which also you got to fit in there.
That you should definitely watch.
But what about the Lost in Space in Star Wars?
No.
That joint movie.
The Lost
John
Kevin.
Williams did do the music. By the way, totally unrelated to this, but sort of. I know the kid who's playing Will Robinson in the new Star Wars Lost in Space.
He will not. Replace Will Mummy in my mind.
I know they did a picture. Will Mummy and Maxwell Jenkins took a photo from the deck of the Jupiter 2. And they posted it on Facebook. It was really cool.
The actor who played Will Robinson in the first movie,
Will Mummy.
In the first movie.
Oh, movie.
Later went on to play Ulysses Grant in Lincoln.
Well, and he was also the little kid on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, but doesn't the guy play Ulysses Grant? He plays Moriarty in the Sherlock movies.
Yes, I think you're right.
The kid who plays Will Robinson in the Lost in Space movie with William Hurt?
No. The guy who played the older Will Robinson.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
I think the right answer is always Meryl Streep.
Back to Star Wars.
But the point
Star Wars, may I make a suggestion also? If you're going to watch them, okay, watch the original, not the digital re-release.
Completely agree with Rob.
Because I'm sick and tired of seeing Han Solo walk on that creature's tail.
No.
Yes.
You're so wrong about why.
Re-release.
You're so wrong about why. I can't even begin to start.
What?
Here's why you watch. No, you're right about which version to watch.
Okay.
That the problem with him walking on Jabba Hutt's tail is not the problem, Roger.
Is that
you're adorbs. Han shot first.
Oh. Yes.
That's why you watched the originally shot Star Wars movie.
But getting back to Roger's theory, I just want to take this on very seriously, Roger, because you know I love you.
I know.
And I agree with you conceptually. Conceptually, you want chronological and logic and so on. The problem is, if the first Star Wars movie you watch is A Phantom Menace, there will never be a second Star Wars movie you watch.
Well,
because
that
is the worst movie ever.
And oddly,
so are they listed
Thread,
Star Wars
sorry,
1,
Jar Jar
Star Wars
Binks
2, Star Wars 3?
Ken,
how will
Google,
I know if it's the
you
fourth
Google
one?
You Google it, and you'll know which ones when they were released.
Just call
so
Eli.
Just literally,
tell
you're
you.
Talking about the fourth one in release order.
Yes.
Start from there.
You know what you do, Ken? You come over to my place. I'll make some popcorn. I have all of them on Amazon Prime.
Wait, hold on a second, Roger. For a moment, I just found something on Amazon I did not know existed. There is now a way to do microwave popcorn without buying that chemically bag of it. There's actually a container, like a silicone container, where you can actually, what's the popcorn brand?
Kernels?
The popcorn brand, though.
Orville Redenbacher.
Yeah. So you buy that bag of it, you put it in this container, no oil, no nothing, and you can microwave it.
I used to do that along. I did that 20 years ago in my microwave. What are you talking about?
There's this, I don't know if you guys heard about
it's regular Orville Redenbacher, the kernels.
Yeah.
And you put it in we had a ceramic bowl and put it in the microwave. Perfect, dry, no oil, no nothing. And then buttered popcorn flavored salt that you can sprinkle on top of it. It was awesome.
Well, which is great. But they're
just coming now.
I don't know if you knew this thing.
It's silicone.
It's called a stove. And you put the popcorn in a pan.
I have an air popper.
And you cover the pan. And you put a little, and then you put
what's a stove look like? I have
and
a microwave.
But you got if it's stove, you got to have some oil or butter to get it to pop, or it's
and
just going to burn.
Makes it worth
no, it doesn't
otherwise.
Burn. It tastes yummy.
Okay, now I need to do a controlled study of Roger's way, which I've never heard of anyone putting a ceramic.
I have one final Star Wars question. Does that mean I never watch 1, 2, or 3 like ever?
If you want to, you can.
I would be comfortable with you never watching 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way.
I won't miss anything. Basically,
you'll watch 4, 5, and 6, and then I want to hear your questions about the series based on 4, 5, and 6, and that will determine which one you watch after. Is that fair?
I actually am going to do this summer with my daughter. So
let me throw a controversial idea out. Roger or Elliot, the true Star Wars fans here, among other than myself and Patty, sorry. What would you think about starting with Rogue One?
No.
And
no.
then do 4, 5, 6.
No.
Rogue One doesn't start there.
No. It's not strong enough.
Rogue One is immediately before the original.
It's too dismal.
But it's such a great flick.
It is a good film.
Elliot hates it.
But Elliot likes Jar Jar Binks, so we don't respect his opinion.
Excellent point. Hold on. From the 224.
Only because he could do a great imitation of him.
From the 224, Wired Magazine, and I don't know about this, but Wired Magazine says to watch the Star Wars films in this order. Ready, Elliot? Have you seen this?
This is called Machete Order.
So yeah. 4, 5,
2, 3, and 6, and then forget Phantom Menace.
Hold it. What?
That's called Machete Order.
Wait, go through that order again?
4, 5, 2, 3, and 6.
I don't feel comfortable with that at all.
And I would also throw out, to be a contrarian, you can watch the last 20 minutes of 3.
Yes.
Because I think that's really good. Watch,
I'm good with that. I actually liked 3. But to your point earlier, Elliot.
Who knew Princess Leia had that much hair? Go ahead.
It did not have any of the whimsy or... The thing about the original Star Wars movie, number 4, A New Hope, is that it didn't take itself so seriously. And that's part of what made it fantastic, is that there was humor. There was self-deprecating humor at the genre itself, and it was kind of buried within the movie. Whereas 1, 2, and 3, when George Lucas tried to do it again, oh my God, it's like super serious with bad acting and bad directing. Oh, that was
so who does this Mark Hamill guy play in the movie so I know who he is?
He plays a skater. He plays an Olympic skater.
No, see, I know he doesn't do that. He didn't have Olympics back then.
No, he plays a guy who gets a Corvette.
Oh, yeah, and then he gets in a horrible accident, and then they have to do the reshoots for the Empire. Anyway,
he plays
Luke Skywalker. Really,
I was going to say Han Solo, but that's the wrong flip.
That's Harrison Ford.
I didn't see those movies either.
What communist country are you from?
Yeah, from the Soviet Union, actually. The old Soviet Union.
Detroit, same thing.
Wait, Elliot.
He's from Kenistan.
Right. Elliot, which movie is First Contact?
That's a Star Trek.
Okay. It is. And by the way, First Contact, great flick.
Yes, actually it is. Jonathan Frakes.
Cromwell.
Are you kidding me?
But contradicting the contradiction was established in the original series.
I'm also going to go out on a limb and say I just didn't like Black Panther. More after this on 720 WGN. I was like 4 years old when I saw Star Wars or something like that. My parents used to take me to the movies when I was really little. I saw a lot of movies, maybe before I should have. But I think Star Wars was fine for a 3 or 4 year old.
You were four?
They didn't hire babysitters. They would just take me to the movies. And no matter what the movie was, my mom would be like, I saw Godfather 2 when I was really little. And my mom was like, well, you didn't say anything. You seemed like you were having a good time.
Patty, that explains a lot about you.
Yes. So I saw Star Wars at the Gateway Theater. And the Gateway Theater in Jefferson Park actually has a starry ceiling. And the screen is filled with stars. Like I felt like I was in space when the ship starts coming out of the screen. And I don't know. I didn't understand what was happening. I figured it all out later. I saw the movies when I was older and then started watching. Like, I saw Empire Strikes Back when it came out too with a couple of my friends. My parents took me to the movies, and then Jedi, because I was like, I don't know, what was I then, by like 9 or whatever, I loved it. I just was in love with all the movies. But Marianne from Skokie says, saw the original Star Wars, wouldn't waste my time on the others, can't see what the big deal is. Marianne from Skokie. So Ken, just to sort of temper our obvious enthusiasm, I do want you to know that there are people. My mother saw the first one, and she thinks the same thing. That's why, you know, she's just like, I don't know. I saw the first one. It was fine. So yes, Ken.
And that's when she says the original. That's the number one.
Yes,
right?
It seems as though she means the one that was released in whatever year that was.
77.
Sure. I don't know.
Okay. Yes, although if she saw number one, I would agree with her.
Yes, if she saw the first one, what's the first one called, Elliot?
A Phantom Menace.
Oh, Phantom Menace. Okay, so here's the thing about with the original Star Wars, and I'll admit it, it's very kind of dead in the center. I mean, a lot of great stuff happens in the beginning, and then there's a lot of talk, and then it picks up again. If you want to introduce someone to Star Wars for the first time, and especially today's generation, you want to introduce them to the classic trilogy, you show them Empire Strikes Back. that's the best one. If they really like Empire Strikes Back, then show them A New Hope for the backstory, and then show them Return of the Jedi so they see how it ends. Now, if they watch Empire Strikes Back and they don't like it, you're like, okay, we end here, because that's essentially the best that I can offer you.
And is that the number four, Empire Strikes Back? That is
so, Elliot, in order to transition here, because it is Good Friday and Easter weekend, there have been theories that the Star Wars movies are also kind of this because of the Force and, you know, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read any of those sort of philosophical theories?
Because Yoda died on the third day and then came back for us.
I'm just saying. So this is a Good Friday, and a lot of people wonder why Good Friday is called Good Friday when it is actually the you know, we think about the crucifixion of Christ. And I've actually always reflected more on Good Friday. And by the way, there are a lot of theories about whether that means, a lot of times it's called Holy Friday in other countries. And there's also the idea that it's actually called God's Day rather than God's Friday rather than Good Friday.
Right.
But other people think, well, it's good because this was how we sort of come to terms with the fact that we are sinners and Christ died for our sins. Now, I know that the president considers himself to be deeply religious and deeply Christian, and many evangelicals appreciate him. And he, what does he think about himself and when it comes to his Christianity, Michael?
I have great relationship with God. I have great relationship with the evangelicals. In fact, nationwide, I'm up by a lot. I'm leading everybody. But I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. And I am good. I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try and do nothing that's bad.
Would you consider to, you know, the things that he has said, that he has done, to be things that are not bad?
Let me put it this way. Is there one of the Ten Commandments that he has not broken?
Well, I don't know. Do we know that he's murdered anybody?
I would
sure
say drone attacks in Yemen. Yeah.
There you go.
He sent. Wow. He did send some soldiers into an ambush. Yes.
Yeah. So, no. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's not up to us. If you're Christian, you're not supposed to. That's not our job. It's very much, you know, goes up to the top office for that. However, we're charged as Christians, if I may, to live a Christ-like life. Now, if you're a Christian, you're listening right now, you have to ask yourself, does this person do that?
And well, I from my own standpoint as a Christian, would say that he does not embody my idea of some. Well, especially when he says I don't do anything bad, right there is lying, because he does things and he is admitted to doing. Right, we all do. And he said he's not a sinner, and
we all are.
I mean, cheating on your wife is all of them. He's cheated on.
Well, that's what
I try
Mary
to do.
Magdalene,
nothing that's bad.
Mary Magdalene, of course, was a prostitute, and he came and he forgave her for that. He didn't try to buy her off.
But Trump did not have sex with her.
To the best
with
of
Mary
knowledge.
Magdalene?
Yes.
Wow, that's...
Well, I mean, the king... she's the one.
She's
the one. So is lying one of the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Thou shalt not lie?
Bearing false witness.
Okay. Oh, I got to pull up the Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not steal one of the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thou shalt
not covet thy neighbor's wife. Is that one of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, that's one.
So those are just the top three off of my head that I know he's broken multiple occasions.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not
There's
steal.
Four.
Yeah. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Oops.
Okay. Whoops.
I mean, he's batting 1,000 so far.
Yeah.
But let me jump in on the Ten Commandment thing. Is that don't forget Christ also said, when asked about them, he said there effectively, I'm paraphrasing, but said you can forget that there is one commandment now. There is one.
No, there are two.
Do unto others?
There are two. There are two commandments.
And
help mom.
Theology 101 right here with
the
these guys.
The first commandment, love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. The second one, treat your neighbor as you would have them treat you.
I'm sorry. Yes. This is the new covenant.
Yeah. Unless they're refugees from a country where they have no hope and no possibility of survival, then they're not your neighbor.
No Hope, by the way, was the best Star Wars movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
I actually have never met anybody that has broken this many and multiple times of the Ten Commandments, a multitude of Ten Commandments. That's actually pretty extraordinary.
So here's the thing.
Is it a life goal to meet someone like that?
No, I never. It's like kind of shocking to think about.
Because you have met Donald Trump, but so here's the thing. I've got a friend in right wing social media friend.
Freudian.
Yes,
wow.
Seriously. And he was trying to convince me because we were having this debate online, and he was trying to convince me. He said, "Well, what you don't understand is that Donald Trump became a Christian last year."
What?
Oh,
he became a Christian
last year?
In 2016, Donald Trump became a Christian, and I'm like, and so you can't hold anything against him that happened before he became a Christian. So this is all new.
I don't think that's
how it works. And so aside from the fact, okay, well, so how about all the lies he tells on pretty much a daily basis, 5.6 per day, according to, I think, PolitiFact. But forget that. I said, was there like some super secret, you know, conversion ceremony that we all missed? The one thing he didn't brag about was him becoming a Christian? I'm like, come on, you can't honestly believe this. But here's the thing. They do believe this stuff.
It's
a lot
weird.
Of the evangelicals actually believe that they've created this myth that, well, he converted and he's now Christian and therefore everything's okay.
Here's the problem I have with that, and you thank you for bringing that up. And this is the thing that drives me nuts about evangelicals. To be an evangelical, you must proclaim Christ as your Savior. I have never once heard Trump proclaim Christ as his Savior.
Have you seen him go to church?
I've seen, he's been in church. Yeah, they show pictures of him in church. But, I mean, he's never gone out and said, this is my faith. You hear sports stars say it. But, you hear a celebrity say it. Never once. I mean, and even in that whole the soundbite that Michael just dropped. You know, he's saying that I'm a good person. That's not what an evangelical says. You're supposed to say, I am a sinner. And
we're
all
sinners.
Yeah, we're all sinners. And that I am redeemed by my faith. He doesn't say that. So to say that he is a quote-unquote Christian is, as I'm sorry, that's both theologically and to me, you know, just like altogether spiritually wrong.
Well, I honestly, other than a funeral or a memorial service, I have not seen him go to church. I've not seen pictures of him and his wife walking out of church.
See pictures of he and his wife together, period.
Scott, is this something? I'm late.
You're late.
Michael, you can let me know that. Why do we have no sounder now, Michael, as far as like that tells me that it's time for the news? Nothing. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. Are you taking off or are you staying for more?
Well, we're going to be talking like this. I'll stick around.
All right. We'll talk more like this.
If you can stand the smell.
This is well, you know what's funny is if I was having a cigar, I wouldn't notice it. But when it's one of those things where you're like, something's happening.
Scott and I went out and had cigars before the show, and we're stinking everyone out here.
Yeah, we know.
Here you go, Dave. Dave, do you want to can point this in their direction.
This is my cigar voice. I'm not doing a Barry White impersonation.
Before we go to the news, Mr. P. Grabber is most definitely not a Christian. He's not grabbing pee, but quotation marks for female genitalia.
Yes. Now I get it.
All right, so we'll do the clip when we come back. It's Easter weekend, and we are we're kind of blending religion and politics in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the Tribune Tower. We only have a few more months left. By the way, we are playing at the same time as we're talking about politics and religion. I'm also playing a round of Battleship with our friend Jasmine, who has challenged me and kicked my butt many times. So, Elliot, I might need your help through this if we're going to be talking about serious stuff and playing Battleship at the same time.
And talking Star Wars.
And also talking Star Wars. By the way, if people want to know, the advertisers that dropped Laura Ingraham after her tweet against a Parkland shooter survivor, it was Expedia, Hulu. What's the noise? Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear
it. Sounds like a storm coming.
It's the fan.
Is it the fan? Oh, yeah. It's the fan.
It is the fan. Yes, it is.
It's the fan blowing away the stinkies.
Storm coming.
Yep. It's a stormy day.
Is that better? Right. Exactly. Expedia, Hulu, Nestle, Nutrish. I never heard of Nutrish.
Pet food.
That's Rachel Ray's pet food brand. Yeah. Interesting. TripAdvisor and Wayfair are some of the companies that have dropped their advertising dollars from Laura Ingraham. Is that just from Fox News or just from her
program? Just from her show. So they'll reallocate to something else on Fox. But I wonder how it affects her show.
Well, she's off next week.
She's on vacation. A pre-planned vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-planned.
Like those pre-planned military exercises.
Mm-hmm.
We are also getting some clarifications on the on Christianity.
Yes.
So that's mostly for you, Scott.
Yes, I stand corrected.
On Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
But I think that many, but here's the thing. It's... I think a lot of people have been taught that way.
Yeah,
or I mean, there's so many different variations on Christianity and the way we're taught. I mean, whether it's from being taught to be afraid of God or to believe that God is somebody who is kind and generous and forgiving, to the wrath of God. We're talking about the Pope now, who is saying that there is no hell and maybe...
Okay,
really,
but here's the thing.
Wow, you guys are not liking the Pope right now.
And your souls do not live
forever. That was a multi-religious agreement there.
Wow.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, first, two things. One, according to Catholic doctrine, if he's speaking when the Pope is speaking directly to God, okay, there's this term for it, right? I mean, come on. If he's speaking directly to God, I would take his word for it. But that's one. Two, technically speaking, theologically speaking, okay, the Bible doesn't really determine hell itself. There are two references to a place of damnation and torment, and one and both.
And one of those is Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, Detroit.
Oh,
Wrigley Field.
That's why it's RoboCop. You know, RoboCop was sent to redeem people there
in Detroit.
In Detroit. So I mean, you don't even have the term itself, hell in itself, being there's called the Lake of Fire, which is even where
it's so hard to get property along.
It's
there.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, no, where the devil is supposed to be cast at the end, but that's not where it doesn't say in the Bible that that's where people go. That's where the devil's supposed
to go. Well, Christ goes down there too after his crucifixion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But see, that's what's said in the book of Isaiah. It's not said in the New Testament. So it's not like this is like prequel stuff that we're learning later. You know, it's like
episode two.
Episode two.
More complicated than Star Wars.
And some people like, I don't know.
Should you start with episode two?
It's ironic that the one guy who's really in the prequels in the room doesn't really care for them.
Okay, as a non-Catholic in the room, except for during the Loyola Ramblers game.
Wait, but are they Catholic or is that?
They're Catholic.
Is it Catholic?
Okay. Jesuit
is Catholic. Jesuit order. It's just the Jesuit order.
Sister Jean, hello. So,
and the New York Times has a front page article about why are Catholic schools so good at basketball? Villanova, Loyola.
So a listener asks, I don't know what papal fallacy is. I'm not sure what that is.
Infallibility,
sorry.
Right.
What's papal infallibility? So whatever he says is correct because he's
No. It means church doctrine. When he says you have to kneel, for instance, or we're taking communion in a certain way, that's he's infallible that way. He's not infallible every other way.
Oh, all right.
Interesting.
All right, then he stays. Jasmine and I are playing Battleship. Jasmine, we're playing Battleship on our Hasbro apps right now. So Jasmine, you're doing very well. Again, you sank two of my ships before I even got any shots off. It seems like.
Sorry.
I don't think she is.
Yeah, she's sorry, not sorry.
She has beaten me. How many games have you won so far, Jasmine?
Four.
Four games. This is our fifth game together. She's already ahead. But I have, in fact, let Elliot play my game, so that's why there's one. I got these other hits.
Oh, it's Elliot's fault.
It's Elliot's fault. So we're going to keep playing.
Is he playing or are you playing?
I got those last three hits on your ship. He sank. What boat is that? Is that the...
The cruiser.
The cruiser. Like But you've already sunk my destroyer, right?
You're down three ships right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, jeez. All right, let me take a break here and catch up with Jasmine. We're going to take our next call in just a moment. And I know that Michael's got some more clips to play about. What's the next one? Is it also about President Trump's Christianity?
Yes, it's him talking about how deep he goes into his Christianity.
Excellent. Yeah. Or, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Jasmine's on the phone.
Nobody's touching that.
I checked. Oh, well, yes, he did. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm not freaking out at all, actually. Last week might have been a freak out. By the way, oh, let's talk about this for just a moment. I know Scott is already familiar with the new policy on the show, and texters seem to be enjoying it because we're getting a lot of great texts, and we appreciate that. Also from taxi driver Bob, who has a Netflix suggestion. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But last Friday, we were talking about China and the tariffs and the $1.3 trillion spending bill and a lot of other things that got me a little amped up, and we got complaints about the fact that I was talking about Trump, even though I don't talk about President Trump the entire week. It's a self-imposed rule. And when I left here, I was driving to Holland, Michigan, and I was still amped up and angry that people were attacking me. And I get it. You know, I'm on the attack, so I should be able to weather it. So I thought, what can I do with that, though? If I'm thinking about it, let's put it somewhere. So the new policy is on this show, when we do talk about Trump, which generally only occurs on Friday night.
Yeah.
If you complain, attack, are nasty and vicious and ugly and just needlessly rude to Michael on the phone or on the text screen, we will add another segment throughout the week because, believe me, I don't necessarily want to keep a lid on it four nights of the week, but I have been. But thank you very much to the listeners who just want to be jerks and just chime in and just say awful things. You're helping me find some catharsis throughout the week, and I've appreciated it. Last night we did a little bit with Scott. We did some with Tim Walco early in the week. So I've been able to spread it out through the week now. Dave, the lid has come off.
Can you define being jerky?
Calling me the C word, calling me a libtard. Ouch. Which I think that I have been pretty clear that I don't disclose who I voted for. Because here's the thing, you can be a conservative and also criticize the president. So if we're criticizing the president and you just hear that as liberal, I believe Scott Stantis would stand in complete alignment with the fact that he has his own opinion regardless of party.
Yes. I am a never Trump conservative.
There you go.
And so, there are lots of never Trump conservatives out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just aren't elected.
And here's the thing is that I realized on Monday when we started talking about this and the fact that we're going to talk about this, there will be penalty segments because by the way, Trump supporters, if you don't like it, you got to check your other Trump supporters and say, "Hey, let them talk. Well, let them have a conversation."
But isn't really the issue, Patty? And this is an issue for me on a constant basis. If you want to get upset about politics, get upset about politics and talk about the politics. Don't attack the person.
Right.
We're right back to the whole Laura Ingraham thing attacking David Hogg. You do not have to make it personal. You do not have to launch ad hominem attacks. You do not have to use the C word. You do not have to be insulting. You can disagree without being disagreeable.
Right.
It's just, it drives me crazy how it seems to me, and Scott, you may disagree, but it seems to me that these days, conservatives immediately go personal.
Trump supporters. I don't think conservatives.
Fine.
I think, yes.
Trump supporters immediately go
personal. But I would argue from what I get, the blowback from the left, is that they are equally as vicious and thoughtless.
Agreed.
What has happened is that we don't disagree with each other. I can't, politically, David and I disagree on policy, virtually all of them. But I don't question his motives.
Right.
And he doesn't, I don't, at least publicly, you don't question mine.
No, I don't question your motives publicly.
We can disagree.
Privately, yeah.
We can disagree without being disagreeable.
Exactly.
Yes,
look,
Ken?
You cannot, Dave, give our liberal brethren a pass.
You're right.
They are as vicious as conservatives.
And
when they're in action, it's disgusting. And it's just, people have just lost the sense of being able to debate without getting personal. And
you're right. You know what? I'm going to correct myself, because as I think about what we just went through with the Democratic primary and some of the supporters of the non-JB candidates and how nasty and vicious and personal they were, not just about him, but to anybody who supported him. I will completely take back everything I just said defending liberals, because you know what? You're right. They're just as bad.
Yeah, I thought the liberals in the governor's race and the Democratic side were just awful. I think they ran a terrible, mean-spirited campaigns, and it just totally turned me off.
And they got crushed. Sorry.
Hold on a second. Speaking of getting crushed, let me see how I'm doing. Jasmine, I just turned over the board to you. So far, how many ships have you sunk of mine?
Three. I'm about to get four.
Hey, Jasmine, while you're playing, can I sing you a song?
No, thank you.
I can show you the world.
Wait, you're not
shining, shimmering, splendid.
Okay.
Tell me, princess, when did you last let your heart decide? E4. I can see the world.
So here's the thing, Elliot. I would have been right with you until my son was the genie in Aladdin a week and a half ago. And now I'm like, I view that slightly differently because I heard a couple of kids do it. Isn't it really sweet?
Is it great?
All right, Jasmine, go ahead.
No, that song still stinks.
All right, Jasmine, take your best shot and see if you sink my little, I think it's a little ferry boat.
It's your tugboat.
My tugboat.
Your tugboat.
All right, take your shot, Jasmine.
No, it's a PT boat.
To be honest, I don't know what any of these are except for the big one.
The carrier.
That's the carrier. It's kind of, okay, you know.
But the two one, that's not a tugboat. That's a PT boat.
Yeah. Is that PT?
Is that the one that.
That's where Irish Star
was. Is the one that Sergeant Wilco was on? No, that was.
No, you're thinking of McHale.
McHale's Navy.
McHale's Navy.
McHale's Navy.
All right. Oh, you sank my ship?
Oh, wait.
Hold on.
No.
Oh, here we go.
The one that John F. Kennedy was on.
All right. Hold on, Jasmine. We have to play a clip of President Trump again. And it is Good Friday and Easter weekend. What's Saturday called? So if it's Good Friday or Holy Friday?
Special Saturday?
Saturday is. I'm in hell and I'm doing some stuff.
Pope Francis says that you're not, though.
Well,
he didn't say that.
No, he didn't say it.
Go ahead, Michael. What's our next clip from President Trump?
I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't. Now, when I take, you know, when we go in church and when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness.
You mean the body and blood of Christ? Oh, what is he?
See, there you go. Now that
did
right there.
Did you say his little cracker?
My little cracker.
And that right there. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, when I drink the little wine.
I drink my little wine and I have though my little cracker.
My
okay.
God. All right. And, that's like his 2 Corinthians thing.
That's a moment of contemplation, right. The sacrifice that Christ has made to save us.
And any evangelical.
That's not my little. I don't. But is that. It's the body and blood of Christ.
Yeah. Of Christ.
No, when I go up for communion, they never say. The little cracker.
Here's your little cracker. Yeah. Here's your little wine. I know you don't drink much, but drink it.
And it's a wafer anyway. It's not a cracker.
Actually, in the Mormon church when I was little, we had I helped make the gift. It was we tore up pieces of wholesome bread.
We only had
water because Mormons don't drink any alcohol.
We did grape juice and I did the bit with the bread with the Wonder Bread and you cut the crusts off.
Yes,
then you made little cubes.
Exactly.
My synagogue, we did matzah and manischewitz.
Matzah's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
but
it is Passover. By the way,
let's go.
Tonight is the first night of Passover.
And again, evangelicals who want to swear by Trump that he is a Christian. He's already saying it is by faith and not by works that we are redeemed. He is saying right there that by works he's fine. That he goes, if I do something bad, then I go and I do something good and I make up for it. That is completely contrary to Christian doctrine. So I mean, again, if you're gonna hitch your wagon to that horse, it's going in the wrong direction.
Besides, it's the other end of the horse. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's not really even a horse.
Of course. Saturday is Holy Saturday, by the way. The 847 is.
Can I ask a philosophical question?
Yes.
Wow. That stopped the boat right there.
we're talking Christianity, not philosophy.
And this has to do with Christianity, if I may, because this is a question that I've had debates with other friends of mine throughout the years. If Christ died for our sins, and violating the Ten Commandments is sinful, then could one not justify that you can violate any of the Ten Commandments and still be forgiven for your sins?
Actually, there is one sin that you cannot be forgiven for. You can forgive against the Father, you can forgive against the Son, but you cannot be forgiven for sins against the Holy Spirit. That is covered in the, New Testament.
Then are the Ten Commandments edict from the Holy Spirit?
Well, yes, but again, in the New Testament and the New Covenant, if you sin against the Holy Spirit, there is still consequence to that.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not that you can't go to heaven for it, but if you sin against the Holy Spirit, there is consequence for it.
I'm talking in the real world right now. I understand exactly what you're saying, but in the real world, I get the feeling that too often people excuse their sins, whatever they may be.
Biting a little cracker, drinking that little thing of wine.
Thank you very much.
Roger, this is what happens.
Okay.
Let me tell you this right now. When you sin, to the point where you can't handle the cracker, you disappear into like a pile of clothing, like Luke Skywalker did at the end of The Last Jedi,
right.
And I disagreed with that. So
I am with you on that.
Me too.
By the way, from the 847, Jesus Cristo did not die for our sins. Each of us is responsible for our very own sins.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think a lot of times, and this is the other problem I have with the evangelical movement, where they say that if you're redeemed by Christ, that you are then, like, you get a free pass for everything you did before, saying that there's absolutely no consequence to your actions in the past, which is not true. Because, again, the Bible says, the sins of the Father will be visited upon the Son. There is consequence to what you do. So for me saying, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me, I want to be absolved of everything that I've ever done in my life, that's not the way it works, even theologically speaking. So evangelicals who want to say that, well, Trump, and I mean, I hate to harp on this too, because again, you know, I don't want to diminish or demean the belief of evangelicals. I know evangelicals who don't accept what this whole thing that Trump is selling, you know? But again, I'm saying, guys, if this is what you preach, then you need to practice it too. And this is not what's not happening. So
we have to take a break for the news in a moment. But let's check in with Jasmine and see how she's won now. How many games in a row, Jasmine?
Five.
But at least this is better than that one round we played where I hit absolutely, I didn't even hit a ship of hers. I don't even know how that's possible.
Jasmine.
I think you get one.
Maybe.
Jasmine.
I hit one, but I didn't sink any.
Yeah, Jasmine.
Yeah.
Guess what? You ain't chicken never butt? Had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never
I hear that
had
a
friend. You guys find me on Facebook so I can beat you, too.
Eli was better
here,
than you.
Here, Jasmine, are you going to bed or do you want to play Elliot while we go to the news?
I kind of want to go to sleep.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah,
I agree
with
that.
It's your bedtime.
Good night, Jasmine. Sorry the Cubbies didn't win. Oh, wait, I want to talk about this for a second because Jasmine brought something up to me earlier in the day about Anthony Rizzo and that he stands too close to the plate. So, Jasmine, your thoughts on how about Rizzo getting hit?
Well, yeah, I was watching a little bit of the game on TV when it first started.
Uh-huh.
And I realized,
you mean 13 hours ago? When did that game start? Like Monday?
6:10?
Yeah.
6 o'clock.
When it first started, I was watching it and listening to the radio. And I noticed that, Pat Hughes was saying Rizzo is so, like, he was right on top of the plate. Like, his elbow was apparently right over the plate. And no wonder he gets hit with so many pitches.
Well,
back off the plate.
Well, there's two theories here. And having been a player who I used to crowd the plate just to get an easy on base. Shut up, Scott.
Big surprise.
Yeah, I crowded the plate. It also, but the thing is, then the pitcher has to adjust his pitch. So either you're going to get hit or you screw with the pitcher's ability to throw in the strike zone.
So the pitcher's not trying to hit him.
No, the pitcher's not trying to hit him, but he's trying to adjust his strike zone. So if the batter is crowding the plate, the pitcher has to still work with that because the batter has the right to do that as long as his cleats don't touch the plate, he can do whatever he wants in there and he has to stay in the box.
Did you get plunked a lot?
You think he's ever scared of the ball? Because I'd be scared of the ball.
No, and that's the thing is, and Scott just asked if I got hit a lot. Scott, let's just say that was a goal sometimes because I was not much of a hitter. So before I developed my hitting abilities, I was very fast. So the goal was to get on first base at all costs so that I could then steal second base because I could slide really well as well. So
okay.
It also worked for Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was known for getting right on the plate.
Well,
and also, he had that armor on his.
And also coach on Cheers. That was who he
led.
He set the major league record for getting plunked.
Yeah. Yep. I think Babe Ruth had the most balls and walks. Strikes. He had the most walks and strikes at one point. Anyway, it is a strategy, Jasmine. So I don't think he's going to change it anytime soon unless it really gets in his own head.
Well, let's just hope nothing hits him in the face.
Agreed. I think many people, yes, Ken?
Well, I just have a question about liberals and the game Battleship. Have you heard anything from liberals complaining that you're promoting militarism?
No, I have not.
From the 773. Yes. How could you not shrink that battleship?
I hope you guys have a nice rest of your night.
Have a great weekend,
Jasmine.
Night, Jasmine. Happy Easter. Thank
Sweet
you.
Dreams.
You too.
Good night. It is time now for our news. Bye. More conversation when we return. Oh, you know what? After the news, I promoted this all day today, so it's our sound off segment coming up after 1:30. You have 12 seconds to say whatever you want. We won't argue with, not you, Mike, unless you, Mike, you want 12 seconds to say whatever you want. But our listeners have 12 seconds to say whatever they want. We won't argue with you. We won't judge you out loud. We might internally, but we won't say anything. So 312-981-7200. Anything we've talked about or anything that you, maybe someone cut you off in traffic or they were in the 10 items or less lane and they actually had like 30 different things.
It's time to sound off.
I've got something to say.
I have something to say.
Something to say? Give us a call right now at 312-981-7200 and we'll get you on with Patty Vasquez and our political roundtable.
You, something's bothering you. You know it is. No matter what you've got on your mind, you know, this is your safe space to unload it. Give us your burden, and we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You will have 12 seconds to say whatever you want without swearing. And that's it. That's the only criteria, is just no swearing. Even if it's to yell at me or Elliot, tell us which order the Star Wars movies must be watched, that Donald Trump is highest on holy, and he will be the first to go to the land of glory before the rest of us.
In the rapture.
In the rapture, yeah.
Not Rushmore.
They're just saying, whatever you want, whatever, right, Scott? Whatever
sure,
you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to say that, this is your time to do it. We won't yell at you. We won't argue with you. We won't judge you out loud.
Just don't call us names.
They can call us names.
Oh, really? That too?
Yeah, that too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can call
I'll
us names.
I'll have to go wake my wife.
But if they call us names, there might be an extra segment involved for next week. I'm just saying. Not for nothing. Still my rules. 312-981-7200. Our first one out of the gate is Tracy. All right, Tracy, hold on one second. I got to get my stopwatch ready. Ready, set, go, Tracy.
Okay.
Go.
Big sports night tonight. Go Cubs for you, Patty. Go White Sox for me. And go Loyola Ramblers and Sister Jean. Let's Woo! Do this.
I like your sound off. See, that's a nice sound off.
It's
excellent.
A happy
Yay.
Sound off.
Are you watching the Ramblers game tomorrow?
Yes, I am. I'm going to have my remote going back and forth, switching channels.
All right.
Because it kind of comes on around the same time.
There you go. All right. Have a great evening, Tracy. I appreciate it.
You too, Patty.
You
have a great Easter.
Happy Easter. I have a sound off real quick. Hold on. I have to put my own timer on. I want to hear it here. I'm going to give you an example of something that's not even politically related. When you're in a parking lot and there are yellow lines painted there for you to navigate your car into, use the lines. Don't go across the line. If it's on an angle, I don't care. Still put your car in between the yellow lines. If you don't fit, go somewhere else. I'm just saying. Can you have 12 seconds?
12 seconds. The lines in parking garages and in parking lots in Chicago are smaller than the lines in Detroit. Detroit, the spaces are bigger, and noticeably so.
All right, that you got that done in 9 seconds. I feel like you have a sound off.
I think it's because RoboCop made those
Is it all
lines.
Parking lot stuff?
Well, you know, if we're in the automotive venue milieu, get out of the left lane if you're going below the speed limit.
He did that in 7 seconds. Anybody else want to go? Did you want to go, Elliot?
I've got one.
Yes.
Okay. News is that a Chinese space station is going to plunge to the Earth anywhere between this Friday and next Wednesday. And why is it that I have to go to Facebook to find out about this?
You went too long.
And the state of Michigan has actually mobilized a part of their emergency services because there's some evidence that it may fall in the state of Michigan.
We don't respond to people's sound offs.
I'm just adding a footnote.
A footnote.
Because, hey, if
we
it misses Michigan,
last week.
Yes,
if it misses Michigan, it could land here.
Yes. All right, hold on. Ross, okay, Ross, are you doing a sound off, Ross?
I'm here.
All right, here's your sound off. You got 12 seconds. Ready, set, go.
On the Star Wars films, you got to watch 4, 5, and 6, the originals. You can ignore the prequels all you want. Do not watch the prequels. They're horrible. Stick with the original Star Wars, the ones that George didn't mess up.
I'm just sticking to the rules. But yes, I think that you're absolutely right on that.
But
I think a lot of people would agree.
Respond to the sound off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I can respond to my show, but Ken was going a long way around.
Yeah.
All right, Ross.
Right on.
Okay. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter. All right, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That's our sound off segment. Thank you, everyone who participated. And by the way, we're getting some more texts, but I know that that Ken has a quiz for everybody. So I would like to give Ken the opportunity to give us this quiz.
Okay.
We have a prize for this?
Do we have a prize?
I have a prize for this, yes.
Okay, good.
Because we didn't do What's That From tonight. I apologize. We had a short show tonight.
I can assure everyone out there, they've heard me do this a couple of times, and previously the answers were President John Tyler. He's not the answer to this one.
Okay.
All right. Jeez. Gary Cooper, the star of Pride of the Yankees. He played Lou Gehrig, in case you haven't seen the movie. What was his mother's first name?
What in the world are you doing?
You will
see. What was Lou Gehrig's mother's first name?
No, Gary Cooper's mother's first name.
The actor's mother's first name.
Yes.
Okay.
It ties a lot of things going on together.
Trump?
No.
Stormy.
I can't. 312-981-7200 for the most random trivia question in the history of WGN Radio. Wally Phillips is going, I wouldn't ask that question. And Gary Cooper was still alive when I was on the air.
It's like my favorite word. It's like my favorite word problems. If a train leaves Detroit going 300 miles an hour and leaves Chicago going 100 miles an hour and they're headed towards each other, what's the name of the bus driver?
Thank you.
It's
all right.
Just that
while
random.
We wait for an answer for what was Gary Cooper's mother's name, people are now Googling it, so that'll be the way someone's going to win. We do have a sound off. All right, hold on a second. I got to set my stopwatch. We have Billy. Give me your sound off. We will not respond. Everyone, go ahead.
Hey, we're here for a short time. Stop the hatred. Life is short enough. Stop the violence. I don't like guns. And children shouldn't have to go to school in fear.
Oh, go ahead.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Billy. Yes?
Thanks a lot, Patty.
Have a great weekend. Happy Easter. We have hold on a second. Glenn has a comment about speed limits. You don't have the answer for who was Gary Cooper's mother?
Here. Mrs. Cooper.
Well, you know, you never know in Hollywood.
Yeah, because that may not.
But that's not
name.
That is not the answer.
What was the first movie that Gary Cooper won an Academy Award for? And this is without looking.
It wasn't High Noon, was it?
No.
No.
Sergeant York.
Sergeant York? That, you won that first. Okay.
Was it Sergeant York? I think it was Mrs. Cooper. speed limit. If you gotta go below the speed limit on the freeway, just stay off the freeway.
Amen.
You know, amen.
Take a bus or anything else. Take Uber. You know.
Wait a minute. We're arguing about, you're saying that people should not go the speed limit?
No, he's saying they should go below the speed limit.
Oh, below the speed limit.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going below the speed limit, you know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what lane you're in.
Are you driving currently right now?
I drive truck.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
There you
stay
go.
Out of Glenn's way. He's got stuff to
we
deliver.
Love truckers.
Yes.
We love truckers.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Be safe out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. We've got a listener. We got Brad who has a question, a guess on the question for what was Gary Cooper's mother's name, Brad?
I'm going to take a wild guess. Would it have something to do with a rock star that used to wear a dress?
The name?
I don't know about a dress. I don't recall, but you're warm.
When they first started playing, they all wore dresses.
Well,
wait.
I know the answer.
What did he say? He got it. What was say it again?
Alice Cooper.
Correct.
That's right.
His mother's first name is Alice. Alice stars in Jesus Christ Superstar on TV Sunday night. So it merges rock and roll. Primetime entertainment with the opening of the baseball season. It's a good quiz.
I actually just read this a couple days ago.
Yeah, I sent it to you in a text.
I have not done enough yoga to make that stretch.
Wow.
Yes.
Alice Cooper.
Okay.
That
all right.
was her name. Yep. And Alice Cooper stars as, he doesn't play Jesus Christ, though. He plays not Pontius Pilate. I forgot who he's playing in the Jesus Christ Superstar. King Herod. That's right. That's who he's playing.
Hey, Sunday Roger, night. Do you have any updates? Oh, Roger's Christ, not Roger's not in his chair. Jesus we cannot Christ. Get it. I was going to check for an update. Okay, so, Brad, you have won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Congratulations on that. Say hi to our good friends.
I love Apt.
I love Apt, too. Say hi to Steve Shapiro when you go out there, and tell him I miss him. I know that I owe him a visit out there. Apt has been pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Have a great weekend, Brad. Thank you.
Wait, hang on a sec.
Yes.
I would, what would the word be, pleadingly ask that you have some more political segments during the week because...
Aw, thank you.
I think it's important to get the word out of how insane everything is getting, and we really need to do something about it before it's too late, and well, I'm serious.
And because I had a self-imposed rule that I would not talk about Trump every single day because it was like drinking water of a fire hose, the good news is, Brad, that texters who get malicious and nasty, there was already one racked up tonight. We're up to, we have eight for next week, so I can assure you that there will be plenty of Trump segments or politics.
Well, it doesn't have to be about Trump.
I agree.
Yes. Lots of other stuff. Did you know? Here's one little tidbit. In Kentucky, they're going on strike. Did you hear about the teacher's strike?
I did. Go ahead. What did you want to say?
Did you hear one of the things they snuck into that to the bill that's going to deal with their new contracts? They're not getting sick pay anymore.
What?
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like they have an important job or anything.
And isn't it? You might know the answer to this. Isn't it in Kansas? Teachers can be fined if they don't arm themselves?
Yes, I heard about that as well, yes. So, yeah, because for insurance, they say it's for insurance reasons.
Yeah, I'll bet the insurance companies didn't say that.
Can you imagine a kindergarten teacher sitting there with one of the kids on her lap and she's got her holstered firearm on her side? What might happen there?
Although, really, in this day and age,
I believe in Kansas, like Toto.
Well, in the spirit of Good Friday, there is a school district that is putting buckets of rocks. He that shoots the first bullet shall be cast with a rock, I believe.
Yes, that is
river rocks, because they're smoother.
Yes. There you go. Thank you so much, Brad. I appreciate you joining us. Hold on the line so Michael can get your information, and we will send out that gift card to Apt Electronics. Let's take a break here. And I don't know what was... Okay, one texter has a question. I don't know why this came up, but maybe someone knows. What is the odd instrument used in the Beach Boys song Good Vibrations?
Ken, that's right up your alley. You should know.
A theremin? It's a theremin.
Is it a theremin? Yeah.
Is it? Ooh. Yeah. That's your voice.
I know, but it sounded like that.
A theremin is a vibration thing. Yeah. Michael, can you explain what a theremin is for people who aren't familiar?
Yeah, theremin is used by sound waves. So instead of plucking a string or something, you'll be using your hands to change the frequencies of the sound.
See, and here I thought it was a fan next to a microphone.
No, I don't.
Or isn't it what you spit your tobacco into? Oh, wait, sorry, that's thermidor. Never mind.
A humidor. More after this on 720 WGN. Yeah. I'm gonna let everybody else go first because I am disproportionately giddy tonight. It's a very exciting day for me. But let's talk to everybody and find out what there's something good. Let's start with I'm gonna start with Dave Lundy because he had lots of great photos that I think that maybe he has a different something good. But I'm pretty sure it's gonna be in regards to that.
Well, no.
No? Not your lovely ski vacation with your family?
It was just with Eli, because half my family does not ski, and I actually forced Eli to learn to ski, because I was insistent upon having a ski buddy, because I married a woman who did not ski and did not want to ski. But Eli now loves to ski, so
okay.
We had a blast.
Excellent.
But my something good was...
I like the lift, that's all I like.
My something good?
Yes.
Baseball's back, baby.
Yes! And
go
Cubs. The Cubs are at 500 right now.
And by the way, tonight's game, 17 innings. Yes, we lost.
Yes.
But our brand new reliever, Butler,
yes.
went 6.1 or 6.2 innings, 90 pitches, and was phenomenal.
Wow.
Against
absolutely
the worst
phenomenal.
Team in baseball in several
oh,
years.
Oh, bite me, Ken.
So just point that out.
And well, after,
the Miami Marlins are horrific.
Tell me something bad, Ken.
No, I'm just pointing.
This is not the tell me something bad segment.
All right, Ken.
It's
now,
tell me something good segment.
Now you got to tell us something good, Ken.
Killjoy.
Yes. Well, tomorrow Loyola plays in the Final Four. Sister Jean and her bobbleheads will continue to sell. It's just an amazing story.
Yes.
And while I don't expect it to continue on into Monday night, who knows? It's a great story.
It is. Win or lose, it's a great story. Scott, what's your something good?
Well, he's sitting right next to me. There are very few of us editorial cartoonists left in this country. There are two of us in this room right now. That makes up, I'm not making this up, 10%.
Really?
Of the staff cartoonists in the country.
Trying to do the math on that. So that's there's only 20?
No.
If you're 10% of the
there's 20. There's 25 actually. So
well, it's very hard to bring in like a fifth of a person.
Well, hey. Let's hope the space station doesn't strike here, because that would really cause a blow.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. What's your tell me something good?
Plastic straws, they're worthless, and there is going to be a push at the Starbucks shareholders meeting to have Starbucks eliminate these unnecessary, terrible, awful, wasteful things that fill up our landfills.
And so how do you get a Frappuccino into your gullet if you don't have a straw? I mean, I have actually have an, at home, I've been trying to switch to steel. I have steel straws at home.
These two fleshy things called lips.
Yeah, I don't...
they're going to wood.
No, a Frappuccino is not going to... I mean, like how do you drink a milkshake
they're
with a...
paper straws. Right?
Paper straws. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all you need to know.
I said plastic straws.
Yeah, so paper straws. I like that.
Or coffee straws, which are completely worthless.
Elliot would...
Well, coffee straws, I'd agree with you on.
Elliot would probably agree with the fact that plastic straws are evil.
They are. They're horrible.
Yes.
My daughter, my 8-year-old daughter came home from school saying, Dad, do you know straws will live for 60 years? Mm. 70 years?
There's a real...
That's because they don't smoke.
Burgeoning straw consciousness in this country
now.
Yes,
there is. There's a YouTube video that you find where they find like a large sea turtle that had a straw stuck in its nose. And it's like them trying to pull the thing out. And the moment I saw that, I said, you know what? I don't even get straws anymore at Burger King or McDonald's. I just put the lid on. I'll pop the lid off later when
I'll figure it out. Yep.
So, yep.
Elliot, what's your something good?
Thanks to my good friends at WGN Radio, mainly the Patty Vasquez Show. I'll be going to C2E2 next weekend.
Yay! That's very exciting. I'll be at C2E2 as well.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to geek out together.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. So a big thanks to Patty and Mike and Stephanie and everybody here at the WGN Radio.
You probably don't know this, but going down Artist Alley is the most phenomenal experience.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And I'll be hanging out at Artist Alley. I'll be talking to a bunch of folks there, doing interviews and stuff like that. So it'll be fun.
Yay. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Michael, do you want to tell us something good?
Sure, yeah, I always have something good to say.
Yes, you do.
I just played my first headlining show over at the Uncommon Ground.
Yay!
But more importantly, vastly more important, it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday to her.
What's your name?
Celeste.
Happy birthday,
Celeste. That's a great
name.
Yes.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Celeste. That's excellent. Roger,
by the way, did you see Michael's leather outfit that he was wearing? Was that leather you were wearing at the show?
We had to keep a professional relationship going here. HR has already given me some warnings.
Oh, really?
It was a cowboy shirt from Alcala's here in Chicago.
Oh, okay. The picture looked like it was a nice Elvis-type outfit.
Roger.
That's there for the next show, Roger.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Roger, tell me something good.
I'm here.
Yay! Roger's here! I love it. For those of you listening over the last couple weeks, you know that I have been planning and trying to figure out a way to tag along on my son's field trip to Washington, D.C. Since Griffin was 3 years old, I've gone on pretty much every single field trip, from the pumpkin patches to the museums to overnighters in Wisconsin. And I was not able to join the chaperones, so I'm going to stalk his field trip in Washington, D.C. Yes, I'm just going to happen, and he won't know, like, which, because I have the entire itinerary. So I'd be like, hey, what are you guys doing at the Smithsonian? And I'm so, for various reasons, I have not been allowed to chaperone. I don't think it's because I may have been the precursor to a child being expelled last time. That's not my fault. The kid was being obnoxious and he embarrassed the entire school in front of everybody. So that was not my fault. But also, so my something good to this is that my young son, who Griffin is 14 years old, is being very patient as I plot my very strange trip to D.C. to follow him on his adventures. And I'm going to be the cool mom, Scott. I promise. I'll hang back.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm going to buy
nothing's cooler than your mom just showing up. Nothing.
So, I've been there for everything with Griffin. One of the great things about this job is it took me off the road. Being a host of WGN Radio means that I got to spend more time with both Griffin and Declan. And today, after many months of studying and prepping and taking tests for all of the selective enrollment tests, many of you know that Chicago Public Schools actually have some of the top high schools in the country. Amongst them are Jones, Lane Tech, Whitney Young, Walter Payton, and Northside Prep are amongst the top schools schools in the country, all of them top schools in the state. Griffin did get into a private school, but we were very nervous about this. It's very competitive. Over 16,000 students take this test. About 3,000 will make it into these schools. And so we got our results back today. And they're very kind of creepy about it, Elliot. They give you a window. They send an email saying, we're going to let you know on Friday between the hours of 2 p.m. and midnight. Yeah. No, okay. That happened to everybody in Chicago. And by the way, Griffin finished taking this test in February. So at any rate, the test scores are based on three criteria. One are your grades going in through seventh grade, and the other criteria are your MAP scores, which is also a standardized test in the seventh grade. They also base some of the criteria on your where you live and things like that. But then the third component is another test that he took in February. So today we found out he got into the school of his choice, and he did it with a
Perfect score.
Perfect score.
Perfect score.